Vibrant
music teaching.
Proven and practical
tips, strategies,
and ideas
for music teachers.
You're listening to the Vibrant Music Teaching Podcast. I'm Nicola Canton, and today we're talking about potential piano parents and whether they're getting flakier. Hey there, beautiful teachers. I want to talk about something kind of uncomfortable today, but we're going to dive into it because we're not scared of the uncomfortable topics here. I want to talk about parents and whether they're getting flakier. Have you noticed this in your studio? Have you had any trouble with parent communication lately? I want to be real and say that it's gotten worse. And I don't think I'm alone. I think this is a global thing, and I don't think it's unique to piano. But here are some of the frustrations I'm seeing, especially with potential piano parents, so possible new students in our studio getting in touch with those parents. Here's the things I'm seeing more than I used to. They're not answering their emails. So when I reach out and say, hey, wonderful news, we have a spot. Like, they're on our waiting list. I say, we have a spot. It's this day at this time. Fewer are answering. Not that 100% ever answered. I'm talking about it getting worse. Also, for the first time, the last maybe 2 years, parents come to that first meeting with me. So I meet with my students' parents before they get started with lessons. We have a quick meeting. It's just about 10 minutes usually, and is to go through the studio, get to know them, find out about their expectations for lessons. We do this after we've already set up a good lesson time. They're supposedly basically in. It's just a first meeting, okay? The last couple of years, I've no longer been able to say that when parents come to those first meetings, they always sign up for lessons. And it's not because I'm doing something scary. It's not because they don't like me or they don't like the studio. It's because in most cases, they have not read something in advance. They've not really thought it through, and then they've agreed and signed up for that first meeting and come along and, let's be honest, kind of wasted their time and my time. Because they could have just read the thing, right? That's happening. I was going to say more than it ever has before. It's never been happening to me before because I'm very clear. But it's happening now. Parents are going all the way through, going through that first meeting, going all the way to saying, yes, we do want to sign up for lessons. And I send them the email with the enrollment form. And that is the point where they check the fees, or even worse than that, they fill in the enrollment form with the registration fee, all of that stuff. I set up the student account in Vivid and set them up in my music staff, and I email them all the info. And when they get the invoice is the first time that they look at the fees. I can't imagine doing that with something. I can't imagine saying yes to anything without checking the price of it, right? Is that just me? I would always want to know what the fee is before I even have the email thread conversation. So that's happening sometimes now. More than once that has happened recently. They are going all the way through the meeting, going all the way through the enrollment form, and then asking to change the time that we agreed upon. We've been very clear. I talked about it at the first meeting. I always at that first meeting, even though it's already agreed, I always say, okay, so we talked about 3 p.m. on Thursdays. That's definitely good. No issues. And they say yes. And I've had it happen a couple of times recently that they then say, not like something has changed. I totally understand that. But that they then say, oh, actually, I've thought about more and I don't want 3 on Thursdays. Can I have X time? What? No, you can't. That's the time we have. And we've gone all the way through this again. Why did you want to waste everybody's time? That has to be what we think first. But I'm not just here to gripe about parents. I'm definitely not here to gripe about parents. So let's turn this around. If you've seen some of these scenarios in your studio, maybe some different ones, but this vibe is sounding familiar. Let's talk about it. Are they getting flakier? The truth is no. I'm sorry, they're not getting flakier specifically, but the truth is no. Parents are not getting flakier. Everyone is. And I know I sound like an absolute curmudgeon. And I know I just sound ridiculous. But it's true. Everyone's getting flakier. Everyone's getting less good at reading stuff and paying attention to it, at following through, at looking at all the details and things. That's true. It just is. It's what I'm seeing in daily life as well as in piano parents. So it's not about the parents. I'm not here to blame parents or get cross at them. But we do need to look at what's going on because it's getting worse. Some cases, it's as simple as they're literally not getting the emails. Okay? So people are getting more and more emails all the time, which means that some of them just slip through. Some get sent to spam or the promotions folder to die. And they just don't get our emails. Okay? That happens. And that's just reality. And that's true for parents as well as everyone else. And it is not their fault because we're getting too many emails. It's also true that they, their children, and everyone else pretty much is highly scheduled. I'm not saying overscheduled here because I feel like that has a judgmental tone and blames the parents. But they are highly scheduled. They have a lot of things in their schedule, literally, and not a lot of spare time. That's more and more true. And I saw a huge uptick in that after the pandemic. When things opened up again, it felt like, I wasn't interviewing parents at the time, but it felt like they said, oh, thank goodness, there's things to do again, and signed up for too many and kind of just continued. And that became the new normal, that they do even more than they did before COVID. At least that's what I've seen in my studio and in people I talk to. And I think during COVID, people suspected the opposite. You know, it was, oh, we felt what the quiet life is like, and now people are going to see the value in that forever. I think it went the opposite direction. I'd love to hear what you think. And we have to talk about the elephant in the room too. Their phones are affecting their concentration. Just like everyone else, just like you probably. Everyone else on the planet. Their phones, their screens in general. Phones are the worst because they're in our pockets, are affecting their ability to concentrate, and they're getting interrupted when they are trying to concentrate on something. So, what do we do? I'll start with the easy one to solve. Some parents are literally not getting our emails. So we reach out and say, hey, I've got a spot open for little Johnny. How about this time? It's according to your scheduling preferences that you filled in on the form. Here's how to get started, or whatever you normally say. They don't, you just get crickets back. Okay, they may not have gotten your email. So, text a few days later. Now, I don't like to text in the first place because I still prefer to generally communicate with parents over email. I don't want text coming in at any time of the day about anything to do with my teaching. But, you know, once we get into their inbox, the email thing is going to be fine. But initially, we might have been sent to promotions. We might have been sent to spam, whatever could have happened. They could have just missed it. So we send a text. I send a text a few days later. So I'll email parent about 4 days later. I like to be, you know, not a full week, but I do like to give them a good amount of time to have possibly checked their email. And then I text. I'm saying I would definitely never do this the day of or the next day, because to me, that's really badgering people. But a few days later to a week later, send a text, say, hey, just checking in because I emailed about this spot that's open for Johnny. Do let me know if you didn't receive my email, because I know sometimes things get lost in the shuffle. Something like that. Simple, non-accusatory, blaming the email system, if anything, and giving them another opening. Sometimes they won't respond to that text, in which case, fine. I move that contact in my music staff to inactive, and I just leave it there. I'm not going to bother them. I don't want to pester people, but I do want to give them a chance because they literally could have just not got the email. Next, the harder problems to solve, and this is something you'll continue to tweak and try and fix over time. But the mantra is clarity. Even when you think you're being clear, you're not being clear. I've got an example of this. So I had this issue where I have a form that parents fill in, like a calendar booking link for when they schedule that first meeting with me to We've already set up the time, we've talked about lessons. They're going to come in and just for a quick chat, quick meeting before we start lessons. So I send them this calendar link. Past maybe 18 months, what's been happening is I send them that link. It clearly says on it the location. And yet, at the time of their meeting, they do not show up at my studio like they're supposed to. They email me or wait several minutes and email me and say, where's the Zoom link? Because it's an online calendar booking, and so people just assume it's an online meeting. And I had written it, and I'd put the address as the location, and I'd done all this stuff. And I was saying to my friend, who's not in this area at all, she's not a music teacher, she works in a college, and I said, I don't know how to make this clearer. Can you see anything I can do to make this clearer? And she suggested to put it in the title. And the title of the page, brackets, in person. So that's what I did, and it hasn't happened again yet. So I have it in the description. This meeting is at the studio. Here's the address. Location spot says the address. And now at the top it says, new parent meeting, brackets, in person. It's as if I have a separate version of the form that's for a Zoom meeting, which I don't have. But that's how we have clarified it. It was her suggestion. And so far, no one has been waiting at a mythical Zoom link that doesn't exist. So that's an example of continuing to tweak the clarity. When we send emails with information, we have to be so clear. We have to repeat ourselves in different ways to get the point across without making the email super long. So it's a balance. We have to put in subheadings. We have to put in bullet points. We have to write as clearly as possible without being pushy. And that's the balance. I'm not going to tell you it's easy, but I have started. So I used to just attach the policies, calendar, and fees to my emails, or attach it to every email I'm sending to new parents about lessons. But recently, I have to say, please read the attached policies, calendar, and fees. Only book, you know, your meeting time if you agree to those, and like just putting it in again and again in different ways. Please read it. Please read it. Please read it. Because I just don't want to meet with people that haven't looked at the fees. And I want to clarify here, because this might, if you don't know me well, this might come across like we have ridiculously high fees and we're only for elite people and I'm being kind of snobbish. I'm not. Our fees are very reasonable for music lessons in my area. We are not out of the stratosphere in terms of what we charge. But parents don't know what music lessons cost. It's that simple. They don't know what an appropriate fee is for music lessons, and they're used to so many other activities which are in large groups of kids, so are much cheaper. So it usually just comes down to that simple fact. It's not that our fees are crazy. It's that some parents just have no concept of that. And again, I don't get why you would sign up for something without knowing the cost, but I guess they just think kids' activity must be some price that I find reasonable. I won't even check. And then they're shocked at the invoice. And that's a really uncomfortable situation for everyone. I'm sure they don't like it either. I keep pointing to it. I keep highlighting the fact that it's attached. I do that rather than putting the fees in the email, by the way, not to be difficult, but because of different lesson options and different payment options. So I just want them to look at the chart. If they then come back to me and say, sorry, I don't get it, I want to do monthly payments for this type of lessons, how much is it? Of course, I'll just tell them. And if you just have one option, you should just put it right there in the email. Okay, so eliminate that attachment thing that causes some confusion or just inattention in my studio. Those are a few examples, but it's really about looking at the stuff that you're sending out and thinking, how can I make this clearer? How can I use bold fonts? How can I use titles? How can I cut this sentence down to as few words as possible? Not because parents are idiots, but because they don't have time and they don't have attention to spare. So we have to be as clear as possible, and we have to then repeat ourselves without being annoying about it in a future email or in conversation with them to get these things across. Now, this sounds like a lot of work, and you may feel a little bit annoyed right now if you're dealing with some of these issues that I am. So I want to say this. This is all worth it, because even if we do more first meetings than we used to. So we're using up more time, and I called it wasted time. It's really not, because we found out that it's not a good fit. But even if we do more of those meetings, even if we have to be more careful with our emails and spend more time on that or whatever else we're spending more time on, it is worth it, because our clients, our students, their parents are not with us for just a couple of months. We are trying to cultivate a long-term relationship that takes someone from I cannot play piano to whatever level they choose to try and achieve at. And that's going to take years and years and years. So it's worth it. And this is the landscape we're in. So we just have to deal with it the way it is. Hopefully in a way that feels okay to us, joyful even at times, if we can make it that way, and try to eliminate some of this clutter from our plates and from the parents' plates to make things get off to a really smooth start. So in summary, no, you are not imagining it if you're dealing with some of these things that I've mentioned or some other things where you just think, am I getting old? Or are people getting more difficult or more flaky or less consistent? The answer is, you probably are getting older, because we all are. But no, I don't think that's the reason. I think these things are real. But the answer is also no, it's not parents' fault. And they're not our enemy. And it's not going to solve anything if we point fingers and say, oh, parents these days don't know how to parent. Right? That's not going to fix anything. We need to take a step back, do what we can to make the situation better for us and for them, so that we can get off on the right foot with new parents in our studios. Vibrant Music Teaching membership costs less than the price of one lesson each month. That is totally worth it for all of the courses, games, resources, downloadables, printables that you can get access to as a member, as well as a fabulous community support you'll find inside. Go to vmt.ninja and become part of the revolution.